الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المسلم من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected ulama, my brothers and elders, let us imagine for a moment and let us ponder over the plight of a person who works his entire life to found a business empire. He starts off small, he toils day and night, tirelessly. He sweats, he even bleeds for his business. And after years and years and years, after a lifetime, perhaps 40, 50 years, this man has a lot to show. He does not have one business or two businesses. He has his own brand name. He's got franchise stores, or he's got chain stores. And imagine now that this person, he's content, he's happy, he's secure, he's comfortable, he's got a sense of financial security, he's got stability. And imagine overnight he loses everything. Now this is something we don't have to really imagine, because not too long ago there were lots of people who did lose a lot or even lost everything. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for them. But witnessing this in our own community, among people around us, we could see the pain on people's faces, we could see the sense of insecurity, we could see the anxiety, and we can only imagine what these people are going through. Where so as to say, everything was pulled out from beneath them. An effort of so many years, suddenly in the blink of an eye, in a few short moments, just disappeared. And now a person thinks, I have to start all over again. And how am I going to do it? And where to even start rebuilding? But my respected elders and brothers, if we pity this person, and indeed this person is deserving of pity, and deserving of assistance as well, how much more should we pity a person who loses everything, but stands absolutely no chance of ever recovering it again? It's lost and it's gone forever. And there's no coming back and there's no recovery. Hadith Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once addressed the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And he asked them, Atadruna mal muflis? Then, oh my Sahaba, tell me, do you know who a bankrupt person is? The Sahaba radiallahu anhum replied, إِنَّ الْمُفْلِسَ فِينَا مَنْ لَا دِرْهَمَ لَهُ وَلَا مَتَاعَ. O Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, among us we understand a bankrupt person to be the person who neither possesses cash nor kind. He neither has currency, liquid assets, nor does he have any other fixed assets, stock in trade. He has nothing. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not referring to the bankrupt person of the dunya. He was referring to the person who is bankrupt in akhirat. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned and explained, إِنَّ الْمُفْلِسَ مِنْ أُمَّتِي مَنْ يَأْتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِصَلَاةِ وَصِيَامِ وَزَكَاةِ. The truly bankrupt person in my ummah is that person who will come on the day of Qiyamah. And he will come with abundant assets to his name. He will have abundant nafil salah, nafil optional charity, and nafil fast. He will have abundant assets in this regard. He'll have no shortage of these riches and this type of wealth. But he's got one severe deficiency in his life. What is that deficiency? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَيَأْتِي قَدْ شَتَمَ هَذَا وَقَذَفَ هَذَا وَأَكَلَ مَالَ هَذَا وَسَفَكَ دَمَ هَذَا وَضَرَبَ هَذَا. He has come on the day of Qiyamah with abundance nafil actions, nafil amal. But he did people down and he hurt people in the dunya. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam elaborated numerous forms of zulm and oppression and taklif. Shatama hadha, he spoke badly to different people. He swore them. He was abusive and vulgar in his speech. He hurt people when he spoke to them. Waqadhafa hadha, he accused innocent people of committing zina and of other types of crimes. Waakala mala hadha, he usurped and stole the wealth of people. Wasafaka dama hadha, they were people whose blood he spilt unjustly. Wadaraba hadha, they were other people whom he physically harmed without any right. So these people will be plaintiffs before Allah on the day of Qiyamah. They will all have cases against him. They will come and complain to Allah that, oh Allah, this person, this is how he treated us and what he did to us in the dunya. And that is the day when complete justice will be dispensed. فَيُعْضَ هَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ وَهَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ In order for retribution to be dealt, in order for justice to be meted out, this person will see his mountains of good deeds being taken before his very eyes and being given to these people in order to compensate them for the harm they suffered at his hands. He will see that salah being given. He will see that fasting of his being given. He was hungry and starving in the dunya to please Allah. That same fast will now be taken and given to these people. He gave millions in charity, that millions and millions he hoped would one day avail him in the akhirat. He will see that same millions and millions being given to these people he did down and he harmed. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, if all his good deeds are now depleted, there's nothing left to give to these people who are mazloom at his hands. Yet the line of people complaining against him is not over. There's still more mazloom people complaining about him. What will now be done? أُخِذَ مِنْ خَطَايَاهُمْ فَطُرِحَتْ عَلَيْهِ ثُمَّ طُرِحَ فِي النَّارِ These people's evil deeds will now be taken and lumped and dumped on this person. As a result, this person will be taken and flung headlong into the fire of Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala save us all. So what we understand from this is, in deen, there are rights that we owe to Allah. And there are also rights that we owe to the servants of Allah. One is the rights we owe to Allah, our fasting, our salah, our charity. And the other, the rights that we owe to people. The rights that we owe to our spouse, our wives. The rights that we owe to our children. The rights that we owe to our parents and our neighbors. If we are employers, then we have rights that we owe to our employees. If we are working for someone, there are rights that we owe to our employer. If we are fulfilling the rights we owe to Allah, but we are woefully falling short in what we owe to people, then this should not be the plight that we will face on the day of Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala save us all. Where we have hopes and aspirations that we did so much of ibadat, we read so much of Quran, and we did so much, but we do not realize that we did people down in the dunya. Now we come on the day of Qiyamah and we have all these problems to face. If we fall short in the rights that we owe to Allah, then through engaging in istighfar and begging Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness and crying and weeping before Allah, Allah Ta'ala is prepared to forgive a person. Obviously, if a person needs to fulfill the rights, he still needs to fulfill it. If he has qaza namaz, then he makes istighfar, the sin will be forgiven, but this person still needs to perform that qaza salah. If a person misuses his eyes, he looked at the wrong thing, he cries to Allah, he makes tawbah, Allah will forgive him. But if he's owing people money, he's made people cry, he's spilt the blood of people, he's taken people's name and dragged it through the gutter, crying to Allah will not cause this to be erased. He has to go and ask these people for maafi. That is why the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, on one occasion, they told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Inna fulana tuzkaru min kathrati salatiha wa siyamiha wa sadaqatiha. That, O Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is a certain woman who is well known, she is renowned, she is famous for her abundant roza that she keeps, and so much of nafil salah that she reads, and so much of charity that she gives. However, غَيْرَ أَنَّهَا تُؤْذِي جِيرَانَهَا بِلِسَانِهَا This woman has a very wicked tongue. And she does not speak kindly to her neighbors. She does not interact with her neighbors with kindness. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, hiya fin nar. This woman will have to undergo the punishment of the fire. In other words, although she has fulfilled the rights of Allah in such an exemplary manner, she is doing people down, there are so many mazloom people who have been harmed by this woman's tongue. Because of that, she will have to undergo punishment. And then Sahaba radiallahu anhu mentioned another woman before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَإِنَّ فُلَانَ تُذْكَرُ قِلَّةُ صِيَامِهَا وَصَدَقَتِهَا وَصَلَاتِهَا. There's another woman, O Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She does not really read a lot of nafil salah. Obviously her faraiz and her wajibat were all in order. But extra nafil, there's not much of this in her life. Extra nafil sadaqah, and extra salah, and extra fasting. She's not known for that. But she has a good quality. She brings comfort to people's hearts. وَأَنَّهَا تَصَدَّقُ بِالْأَثْوَارِ مِنَ الْأَقِتِ. She makes some cheese at home, and she sends it for her neighbors. She shows this type of kindness. وَلَا تُؤْذِي بِلِسَانِهَا جِرَانَهَا. And she does not cause any harm to people with her tongue. She's fulfilling the rights she owes to Allah. She's not hurting any person. Rasulullah ﷺ said, هِيَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. This woman will go to Jannah. So my respected brothers and elders, we understand that a person, he strives his entire life to try and accumulate some capital, some assets that will be of benefit to him in the akhirat. And we all have hope that those fasts we kept in the month of Ramadan, that Quran that we read, our nafils, we all have hope that this will avail us on the day of Qiyamah. We hope that this will be found in our scales and will be a means of us entering Jannah. We have hope that Allah will accept all these actions of ours. But one is acquiring these good deeds and this reward. Another is securing it. If we are doing people down, we are hurting people, we are stealing from people, then this is going to become an impediment, and this will become a means of those assets now being lost on the day of Qiyamah. We will come on the day of Qiyamah, we will think that all these things will be there. But these people will come before our very eyes and take everything away from us. Everything will get looted. So this is the woeful, sad plight of that person who is not particular in regard to how he interacts and deals with people. We find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam set the standard for the ummah to follow. Obviously Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the very highest level of akhlaq and good character and sublime character. And this was the sign of the nubuwwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Zaid bin Sana radiallahu an was initially a Jewish rabbi. In other words, he was not just a Jew, he was a very learned Jew, familiar and acquainted with the scriptures of the Jews. He says, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Madinah Munawwara, and I examined this man, I saw all the signs of nubuwwat evident in his life. There were just two signs that I was still waiting to see in him. One was yasbiqu hilmuhu jahlahu, that he will always have good character, tolerance and forbearance before temper. In other words, he will not have an evil temper, he will always resort to good character. And the other was, the worse you treat him, the more good he will treat you. So he wanted to test Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to see if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had these two qualities. So there's one occasion when a certain person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he asked for assistance for his tribe. They were going through some difficulty. This is a khulasa of what happened. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the sahaba, do we have any financial assistance to give them? They said, we don't have anything. So this Jewish rabbi came forward. He said, I've got some gold, I will give it to you, and you can pay me back on a certain date. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted it. He gave it to this person. He said, go back to your tribe and assist them and help them. They have need for assistance. And thereafter, approximately 2 or 3 days before the due date of payment, the day of payment was not yet up. Two or three days prior to that, this Jewish rabbi sees Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam just returning from a janaza. He had with him Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar, certain other sahaba. He comes to him. And then he catches hold of the kurta and shawl of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he yanks it, and he speaks to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a very harsh way, unbecoming of any person who has good akhlaq and character. And he says, where's my money? And then he insults Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, yeah, I know you people, the children of Abdul Muttalib, you're known for procrastinating in payment. This is well known, you people all behave like this. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu is present, he cannot contain himself. He says, if it is not for the Rasul of Allah being here, I would have already beheaded you. How can you speak to the Nabi of Allah like this? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was completely calm and composed. He smiles and says, O Umar radiallahu an, that you should not conduct like this. You should speak politely to me and to him. You should tell me that I should pay him on time. And you should tell him that when he asks for his money, he should ask for his money with politeness. In other words, instead of you losing your temper, Umar radiallahu an, although it was lost for a valid reason, Rasulullah is teaching him conduct with good character. You should advise, give me good advice and give him good advice. And then Rasulullah ﷺ does not even tell him that it's not even time up. Rasulullah ﷺ tells him, Hazrat, O Umar, go and give this man what is due to him. And because you spoke to him in this manner, give him extra as well. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu goes with this man. He pays him what is due to him. And he gives him the extra as instructed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Zaid bin Sana is very, very taken aback and surprised. He says, why are you giving me extra? He says, Rasulullah sallam told me to give you this extra because I spoke to you in a harsh manner. So Zaid bin Sana says, now I have found the signs of nubuwat of your Prophet. This was the signs that I was looking for. That I spoke to him harshly. And I behaved in a vulgar manner. And what he did not do tit for tat. He did not reciprocate like that. In response to my bad conduct, he showed me good conduct and kindness. He immediately there and then he accepts Islam. And then he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He gives half his wealth in charity. He says, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I give half my wealth to you in charity to spend upon the poor Muslims. And the Muhaddithin mention that he became such a pakka Musliman. He participated in all the jihads after that and he attained shahadat and martyrdom in the battle of Tabuk. But this was the response of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi had a neighbor. A neighbor is a unique person in one's life. Because sometimes you don't even have control over who our neighbor is. A house is sold, a new person comes in, a person has to hope for the best. A person interacts with certain people by choice. A neighbor, you lump with him all the time. If he's inconsiderate, if he causes you taklif, then this taklif is not a taklif we can escape from because the man is joined to us, like it or not. He's next door. What can we do? This neighbor of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi was a cobbler, he was a shoemaker. And he had a very, very bad habit. Every night he would return home after work, eat his supper, then he would become drunk, and he would make noise the whole night. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi would perform nafil salah the whole night. And he's putting up with the disturbance of this neighbor. This neighbor would sing some couplets when he'd become drunk. He would say, أَضَاعُونِي وَأَيَّ فَتَنْ أَضَاعُوا لِيُومِ كَرِيهَةٍ وَسَدَادِ ثُغْرٍ. He would say, people have not looked after me. People don't even care about me. Nobody has showed me any consideration. They have not realized my worth. I could have been an asset to the community. I could have helped people. I could have stood for the defense of Islam. But look, people have just neglected me and left me aside like this. One night the police come and they arrest this person. He's a drunkard. They arrest him, they take him, they put him in jail. That night Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi does not hear the disturbance of the neighbor. A normal person would say, good riddance to bad rubbish. Finally he had what's coming to him. I wish this happened to him years ago. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi feels pity in his heart. He comes to the governor hears Imam Abu Hanifa is at the door. He quickly tells the people, show him honor and let us welcome him in. He asked Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, tell me, what can I do to help you? What do you need? Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi says, I have one neighbor and he was arrested by your police. I'm interceding, I'm asking that you can please release him from the prison. This man is immediately on the request of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. The governor accedes to his request and he releases this man from prison. This man comes out with Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. And as they're leaving, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi turns to him and he tells him that, tell me, have we neglected you or have we looked after you? So this man immediately realizes, he says, no, you people have shown me good character. You have looked after me. But the conduct of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi had such an impact on this man's heart that I was so bad to Imam Abu Hanifa through all these years. And yet this is the akhlaq that he showed me. This is the good character that he showed me. That this man there and then he makes tawbah, he reforms his life. And he never touches that liquor again. This was the akhlaq shown to a neighbor. At times the akhlaq is shown to parents. That akhlaq needs to be shown to non-Muslims. Needs to be shown to all people. We do not know this good akhlaq that we show someone, this kindness we show to someone. That may be the means of our maghfirat on the day of Qiyamah. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the very well known and famous hadith, that there was a woman of loose morals. A loose woman. She was a prostitute. And one day she saw a dog that was suffering from thirst. And she took pity on that dog. She drew water from the well and she gave that dog to drink. And this became the sabab, this became the means of her maghfirat and being saved from the fire of Jahannam. On one hand we can see when a person is a zalim, He does people down, he hurts people. Then despite all the good deeds he has, what difficulty he undergoes on the day of Qiyamah. But we can see that that good character, which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in one hadith, is among the heaviest things in the scales on the day of Qiyamah. Can suddenly turn the tables, become the means of a person's maghfirat. So how we show good character in so many departments of our life? We try to feed people who are hungry. This good character needs to be implemented in business dealings as well. Sometimes when it comes to business, you feel good character does not belong in business. You know, business must be straight. Being straight is one thing. But doing people down in business, and the Sahaba radiallahu anhu will go over and above and he will show good akhlaq in business. Imam Yafi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that a group of people came for Hajj. And they came to one Sahabi, if I remember correctly, as Abdullah bin Umar, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, and they said, while coming for Hajj, one of our companions passed away. And Rasulullah mentioned in hadith, when a Haji passes away, he is raised on the day of Qiyamah with his ihram. He'll be reciting Labbaik, Labbaik. But this person, there was a problem. He said, whatever grave we dug for him, whenever we dug a hole, we found a black snake inside. We dug another hole, there's a black snake. Wherever we're digging, there's a black snake. We left his body unburied. We came to ask you, what must we do? He said, you can dig the whole earth. You will still find that black snake. These are his evil amal that are waiting for him in his qabr. How the hadith mentions a person recites Surah Sajda every night. That will take a good form and wait for him to give him comfort in his qabr. A person is paband on reciting Qur'an-i Majid. It will be waiting for him in his qabr as a friend to give him company. His evil deeds are waiting for him. Nevertheless, they just put him on one of the holes with the snake. They covered him. When they went back home after Hajj, they went to his wife and they said, what was the problem in this man's life that the snake is waiting for in his qabr? He said, my husband would sell grain. And he would take out some grain from the shop to feed us at home. The amount of grain he took out, he would replace it with chaff, with the skin of the grain, which has no value, just to bulk the grain and deceive the customers. That is why he has this problem on the day of Qiyamah. He was doing down the customers. That is why he has this. And we conclude on Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu. He did a deal with a certain person, bought a property from him. He's telling the person, come and collect your money, I'm owing you, come collect the money. The person is not coming. Eventually he meets the person, he says, I'm owing you this money, why are you not coming? The person says, I'm not coming because I'm upset about the deal. I know we did the deal, but I'm upset. People told me I got ripped off. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu told him, although the deal is binding and concluded, never mind, if you are unhappy, I'm willing to cancel the sale. And then he says, the reason is I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam make dua for that person to get Jannat. Who is good, he's gentle, he's considerate in his business dealings. May Allah grant us all tawfiq to show good akhlaq to all people, to all creatures of Allah, and Muslims and non-Muslims. May Allah make this a means of us entering Jannah. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.